Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Victoria. The subject says, shooting your LSAT shot.
Hello, Ben and Nathan. I recently listened to LSAT Demon episode 413, and I have one quick question. A while ago, I received advice from an LSAT tutor who said, law schools view LSAT scores taken within consecutive months as, quote, shooting your shot. This tutor said it looks bad to law schools because it looks like you weren't studying for much more. It looks like you weren't studying for much score improvement, rather looking to have some luck on your score. Oh my God. It's like, oh, way overthinking this. I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on this idea. It's bad. Don't worry about this. Get your best score.
That's crazy. I wish we did pearls versus turds on this show like we do over on Thinking LSAT, because that's an absolute turd. I mean, I don't know what tutor told you that, but law schools care about your highest LSAT and that's all they care about.
Yeah, well, imagine someone gets a 162 and then they get a 165, then they get a 168. These are all within consecutive months of each other. And the law school admissions reviewer is looking at that and saying, oh, well, geez, it looks like they're...
Nah, I would prefer if you would have stopped after the 162, because, you know, yeah, you got 162, then 165, then 168, but you're just shooting your shot. I mean, that's not, nah, 162, that's your real, I mean, there isn't a single law school out there that I know of that says we take your first LSAT and that's it. If they really cared about this type of thing, then that's what they would do. They would say, no, you got one shot at it.
Yep.
Like, we're going to take your first LSAT no matter what. There are some schools in Canada that average scores, but law schools in the United States, it's very cynical. They are looking at your highest LSAT because that's what they're going to report to US News and the world, the American Bar Association. The highest LSAT is how law schools are ranked. So they rank you based on your highest LSAT. And this whole thing about when you took it, I mean, God, they don't give, do they ever look at that? Do you think they look at the dates that you, why would they care what dates you took the LSAT? They got so many other things to pay attention to besides that.
They get paid by submitting someone with a high LSAT score to the ABA for their data reporting.
Yeah. I wonder where this tutor even came up with this. It's laughable.
You know, people are very good, including myself, at trying to come up with stories that explain the way the world works. And those don't have to have any basis in anything, right? Like, you can just look at that and be like, well, it seems like you're kind of shooting. I've seen students who just keep trying to take it again. I bet law schools think that way too. They think that way because that's the way I think. That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
And then you just started telling people that.
Well, I mean, and don't get us wrong. It is silly to just take the LSAT time after time after time, expecting to get better results when you haven't done anything differently in your prep. But the way we look at it is that anyone, like, if you're doing it properly, then you're prepping, right? Like, we always start from the assumption that you have to prep. To the extent that this advice means you have to prep, we would endorse it. Like, you do have to prep. Yeah. But once you're prepped, then you should take it consecutively. Like, you should plan on, okay, well, I'm going to be ready to take it in February or whatever. Well, then I'm going to also take it in April and I'm going to also take it in June because I want to just get all of my attempts. Like, while my practice tests are good, I'm going to continue studying to make sure that my practice tests stay good and even possibly get better. But any one data point, like any day, I could get any score within my range, and some of those scores within my range are not as good as I would like them to be. So then, yeah, I am going to shoot my shot and take it again and try to get a score that's in the top of my range instead of a score that's in the bottom of my range.
And no schools are going to hold that against me.
No schools are ever even going to notice that, Ben. Like, that's crazy, crazy talk to think that schools are doing that. Yeah. Like, take a typical school that gets, you know, 5,000 applications and they're going to admit 1,500 of those 5,000 or 1,000 of those 5,000. Do you really think that they're looking not just at the scores, but they're actually looking at the dates of those scores and they're trying to filter out people who were just shooting their shot by taking the what? So they're going to just, like, skip high LSAT applicants that they, oh no, we don't like you because you were shooting your shot.
You were, that's like that argument about gunners. Remember for a while there, that was kind of floating around. Don't be
law
a gunner.
Don't like gunners. Like, don't look like a gunner on your
personal
statement.
You're trying
statement.
Too hard. Oh yeah. We don't want someone who's trying hard to succeed. Nope.
Law school
get out of
is
here.
Gunners. Like yeah. Every single one of your professors was a gunner in law school.
Yep.
Enough of that one from Victoria.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Email daily at lsatdemon.com. If you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news, thanks for listening.